Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Well, it is blooming right now, and as usual, it's blooming all over the place. Talking about fireweed.
Yeah, right. We don't, generally, it's pretty unusual to see a fireweed alone. They definitely like their own company.
The more the merrier.
Yeah, the more the merrier, right. And just a spectacularly beautiful plant, I think, you know, because it forms those nice patches and those beautiful kind of reddish purple or deep pink flowers are quite showy. For those who maybe aren't familiar with fireweed, this is a plant of the latter part of the summer and sometimes into the early part of the fall, even depending upon where they're located. But they're blooming here right now quite nicely, all the patches, and they can get to, oh gosh, I think the tallest ones I've maybe seen have been like 5 feet tall, but anywhere from maybe a foot and a half to 5 feet tall. And they have a nice clump of kind of pyramid, elongated pyramidal shape to the inflorescence. As a group, the epilobiums, all the plants in this genus, have the same trait in that they begin to bloom at the bottom first, and then they gradually open their blooms going up to the steeple-shaped top of this elongated pyramid. So right now, I think the ones I've seen just lately have been maybe a third to a half the way to the top, and they have alternate leaves, and they are very distinctive, the leaves, such that this is a plant that's very easy to recognize pretty much at any time of its life. So even the earliest plants, you know, that are shoots with a few leaves, you can recognize them as fireweed because they have a long, an elongated, kind of lanceolate-shaped leaf, which has a mid-vein that's very easy to identify. And then the veins that branch off from the mid-vein, instead of going right out to the margins of the leaf, like many plants do, they don't quite go to the margin. And instead of just ending, they actually loop around and connect to each other. So this is a really distinctive veination pattern that makes them identifiable pretty much any time of the year. They're a plant that one could consider a pioneering species because they are adapted for dispersal, widespread dispersal. Wherever their seeds land on disturbed ground, that's where they're going to do the best. So they like bright light, open light, mineral soil in terms of their germination, and warm ground, you know, so the sun coming down onto the ground to get them germinated. Thus their name, fireweed, being associated with large patches that occur in post-fire landscapes, both because their seeds can be dispersed from other places and land in these recently burned over areas and they find the perfect sort of seed bed there, but also because their seeds can lie dormant for many years in the seed bank in the soil. And when a fire happens, then ta-da! Here come the fireweed. They can also, once the plant has established itself, then it will also spread underground through rhizomes. So that's partly why we tend to see patches of these plants as opposed to one. Because even if it's just one seed or two seeds that might be, you know, land in a hospitable spot together, they will quickly begin to spread themselves vegetatively as well as producing seeds. It'll probably be another week or two before we might start to see the first mature seed pods. So these are very narrow, elongated capsules that hold, oh gosh, up to a few hundred seeds, little brown seeds, and they split open lengthwise, and attached to each little brown seed is a beautiful tuft of really silky hairs. And once those dry out, then of course, off they go into the wider world.
What I've always kind of thought about fireweed as smoke.
Yeah, there's another, probably another association with the name. Yeah, because once those are split open before they've taken off, they look like wispy. What would we call them? Wisps of smoke.
Wispy wisps.
Wispy wisps, yeah. Whenever I see fireweed, I'm always reminded, well, at least over the last 30 years or so, reminded of Bernd Heinrich's wonderful essay. It's the title essay from his book, In a Patch of Fireweed, A Biologist's Life in the Field. And I would encourage readers, or, you know, people are interested in natural history. This is a great, great book. It's in a selection of essays about various things he's observed in the field or research he's done in the field. And it's very readable for every one of us, not just a scientist. Anyway, at the beginning of this title essay called In a Patch of Fireweed, he just very briefly, really, but so aptly describes the just amazing number of relationships associated with just this one plant. And so, for instance, the fireweed shoot comes up in the spring. You know, it's a tender green plant. And the first things to notice it are the aphids. And so they gather on these shoots and draw off the water that the plant is bringing up from the ground. And they also take advantage of the stored energy that the plant is drawing from the sun. And the aphids are just sitting pretty there for a while. And then the ants stumble into the aphids. And the ant goes back to its nest and brings its nestmate back. And they start to gather those sugary secretions that aphids create. And they guard the aphids. So now you've got this little relationship going. And that goes on for a while. But then a ladybird beetle that's coming by notices the aphids. And she puts down a few patches of eggs on this fireweed plant. And before too long, the larvae have hatched. And in no time, the aphids have become the larvae's meal. And meanwhile, once the blooming happens, then the sphinx moths are visiting at night. And the butterflies and the hummingbirds are coming in the day for nectar. And the bumblebees and other bees are coming for pollen. Or both pollen and nectar. So, you know, just that's just one plant, one kind of plant, and all these amazing relationships that are supporting this whole wonderful scene that we see every day. I just think it's such a great example of how so much is going on, sometimes beyond our view. But if we just sat down next to a patch of fireweed for, you know, maybe once a week, once a month for a summer, we'd actually be able to observe a lot of these beautiful relationships that are supporting all of us.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings on in our woods and waters. Thanks for filling us in on fireweed.
You're welcome.